It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So, I got an interesting piece of mail today.
Yeah.
Amazon asked me to be a product tester.
Like, was this physical?
And I was kind of excited because
this was
a physical piece of mail.
Okay.
And I was very excited because it's a sweet gig, as far as I know. Our mutual brother-in-law is a product tester for Best Buy, and he gets all the coolest shit. It's insane. But I'm like, Amazon's going to be different. Not that I love Best Buy, but I really don't like Amazon, even though we are customers. Also, I don't know. It's just weird. The whole thing was like, we're going to send you product. I love this. It said, within 24 hours of posting a review, you will be fully reimbursed for the purchase. Parentheses, e.g., $20 to $100. Some part of that doesn't mean what they think it means.
Yeah.
Unless they really were just like, people just need to know examples of what a range of money might be. And I really wasn't super sure. I was uncertain at the time. And then I looked, and it specifically, I think it's a one-time deal. In retrospect, I think I may have gotten similar things like this before. They're not asking me to be a recurring product tester. They want me to test a product, and specifically, they had 7 or 8 items listed, and I was supposed to go on and pick the one I wanted, and I was supposed to hurry, I think, because, you know, limited numbers or whatever. And it was all sex toys.
Well, I mean, at least they're getting to your area of expertise.
I mean, I don't know that I would go that far. I have purchased sex toys from Amazon on multiple occasions. As you know, being my wife, basically every 3 to 5 years, I'm like, you know what would be fun? Some sort of sex toy. I'll bet since I last purchased one, they've advanced the technology. And that's what I need to just spice up my sex life. And so
maybe
I look,
you could get almost an AI enabled one.
There we go. See? And I look, and almost always they have sort of advanced it. And I purchase one that always costs way more than I expect. And I use it, and I'm like, yeah, it's not bad. And then I use it like 2 more times, and then never, ever, 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 ever again.
But this one could be free.
Yes. But this one also, first of all, had several toys that I'm like, I'm not physically equipped to make use of them. And then others that I am technically physically equipped, but not interested in making use of them. And then a couple I just straight up am not sure what they do. And eventually I was just like, you know, and they want a quick turnaround time because within 24 hours you got to do the thing. Or I think it's 48. Or I don't know. There's a time when you get it, you got to do a review at a certain point. And I'm like, I am a older gentleman, and
Tony does not come on command.
I mean, I don't know that I feel super comfortable making that the episode title, but it feels like it should be. But yeah, I was eventually just like, and then, and yeah, and overshadowing all of this is it might absolutely be a scam. So I put them in the recycling. I didn't go for that.
All right.
Go figure. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that's here for a long time, not for a good time. I am Tony.
I'm Trish.
And this is episode 684. William is still unavailable at present. He may be back next week. We will see. But probably not, because the response from the audience has been overwhelming. That dude is out. Trish is the new hotness. They love the vibe. They love the banter. They really, I mean, for years they have been asking what William brings to this endeavor, and I've said, just trust me. And now they know if you bring in somebody with some real talent, this thing can sing, you know? So maybe he won't come back. We'll have to see. But in the meantime, my wife has sweetly offered to podcast with us again. An Aww. Increasingly expensive endeavor, as I recently yeah. found out that apparently 13 years of podcasts, even just audio, can fill up all the space your web hosting is willing to give you. So,
to be fair, I feel like they didn't really realize that either until recently.
No.
And then they were like, whoa.
Yeah.
We have given this dude too much latitude.
So at this moment, the cost of the web hosting has tripled. We have come up with some pretty intensive ways to mitigate this. So hopefully it won't be a long-term thing, but we will see. In any event, I just want y'all to appreciate that much more what we're spending for your, I don't want to say entertainment, but for a way to use up some of your limited lifespan, because what else are you going to do?
Just know if you get a piercing headache in the morning, it's probably because I don't want to go to work and I'm cursing you all.
It is a thing she does.
Because I have to go to work to get the money so the Hatters can have their fix.
We got to get that ad revenue. We really got to up our merch game. We need some more merch revenue coming in. But we will look into that. For those of you just joining us for the first time, we're way more fun than we sound. we have a hat. It is magic in that it has its own email address, which is not magical for a person, but for a hat, pretty magical. The magical talking hat at gmail.com, in fact. And people write in, although not currently, we have none, but sometimes people write in with emails to themagicaltalkinghat.com, or sorry, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Sometimes they go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and comment on the episodes. But anyway, the email is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and people write in with whatever the crap they want, and the hat magically just forwards it to us, and then we have to talk about them until we're bored. And that's the premise of the show.
Have you ever thought about what would happen if people just emailed you
directly?
Yeah.
There are two listeners who have access to personal emails of mine. Not the same email, I should specify, because I have like 8 email addresses, because I am not who I appear to be. And I regret it daily. So I don't think I want to do that. Also, if they did that, we would have literally no premise. We barely have a premise now.
I mean, I wasn't going to say that part, but.
Oh, I say it all the time. So, how's our week been?
How's our week been? Mm-hmm. Well, we had a pretty good weekend. And
we had a sleepy weekend. Even for us, there was a lot of magic.
It was a good weekend.
We often do that. A lot of our lives are set around during the week, and we don't often have a lot of like chores or things on the weekend. We take a lot of naps.
Yeah, we did go to Ace though.
We did go to Ace and bought. All right. I don't even remember what you bought. I bought a lot of candy.
I bought hardware cloth. I also bought candy. Okay, so last week we did this, what, on Tuesday?
I think so.
And then for date night. Something was weird about date night, wasn't it?
We went out, we went to Taboole.
Oh, that's right. We went to Taboole, which is a restaurant in Coralville that used to be pre-COVID. So it's Middle Eastern, hence the name. And pre-COVID, it was a buffet that you could get all kinds of different tasty things. And I have, so also during COVID, and I don't know why this is, but Oasis changed their menu.
Sorry, Oasis is a different Middle Eastern place in Iowa City.
Oasis was always my favorite.
Keep in mind, some of our listeners are as far away as Scotland, so they won't necessarily know what we're talking about.
Oh, I'm sure it's famous there. Hi, Craig. So they simplified their menu, which kind of made sense at the time because, you know, everything seemed weird and complicated and whatever. But they've never switched back. And so, like, the stuff I used to get that I liked the most, they don't have now, of course. They have other stuff, but I don't know, it's just not the same. So I was like, hey, let's go to... And we have a weird lack of, like, Middle Eastern restaurants now, I feel like.
We got a couple, but, I mean, we have... More than we have a right to have in as a small town in the Midwest, but well, I guess well, we're not but we have given the university. Other things we have, it is a little surprising.
Yeah. So anyway, so we went to Taboole, see what they had going on, and discovered that they now have a hookah bar?
cafe.
Right. They have a hookah cafe. And they have a Middle Eastern grocery in where the buffet used to be on all the tables and cabinets and whatever. And so we
and
had
a
some.
Restaurant.
Yes, and a restaurant.
An actual sit-down restaurant where we went and had dinner.
Yes. And so we ordered too much food because we wanted to. So we got falafels and hummus and entrees. And it was all quite good. And then
amazingly good.
Browsed the store. And Tony picked out a few things. And then we came home.
Was that the night we watched Amish Witches? I can't remember.
Okay.
But no, Taboole, if you are local, Taboole is amazing. I was blown away. It's another one of those places that I'm like, we have to remember this so we can eat here more often. Actually, it's funny. So you got chicken tikka, and I was just taking the leftovers and putting them in containers for your lunch tomorrow. And so I tasted a little bit of it. Man, that shit's good.
Yeah.
And I had lamb kofta. It was really good. Also, one of my favorite falafels so far. And this... roasted pepper tahini dip with it that was really nice. So yeah, it was really tasty. And I think, yeah, because we've watched a couple of movies this week. Well, we're still watching Fallout. I think we are halfway through Fallout. I think it's 8 episodes. We just finished episode 4 before we started the podcast. So we are 4 episodes through it.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm quite as delighted by it as I was. I still like it.
Yeah,
But this
I think that's
episode was
fair.
hard in some ways.
I agree. It is getting. I mean, I talked before about the how I don't like post-apocalyptic shows, and Fallout's a little different and all that. It feels a little more like post-apocalyptic shows. It may literally be something to do with the medium and not necessarily the property. That when I'm watching it on a movie, it's not the same as when I'm playing it, and it seems darker. I don't know. I do have My mind is full of a lot of criticism. I still feel like they're nitpicky. It's still a really good show and a really good adaptation of the video games. And I still highly recommend it to sort of anybody who likes genre fiction. I mean, it's not family friendly for
I
sure,
was gonna
but
say, and as an adult.
yeah. Or thinks they're an adult. I can think of a lot of teenagers who would like it. But yeah, I'm digging it. I don't know, but I suddenly had the realization they're probably not. It's probably not intended as a limited series. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, probably not.
Which is fine, and I'm sure I'll watch more of it. But yeah, we watched some movies.
Yeah,
Oh, sorry, did you hear much?
we watched Amish Witches, which
Now,
I
technically, we watched Amish Witches, colon, the real story of Holmes County. And it
yes.
is not a documentary. And this is important because there is a documentary about Amish witches.
Yes,
What we watched.
which Lifetime made that after the success of the first movie.
Of the thing we watched.
Yes. So I picked this movie for Tony a while ago. I was just on my own some weekend day and I was looking for something to kill time and I was like, Amish witches. Yeah, that's a good time killer. But I watched like the first 5 minutes of it, and then I was like, holy shit, Tony needs to see this because it has all the hallmarks of a found footage horror movie in the first 5 minutes. So you have like the camera crew driving to the location and arguing about stupid shit in the van and like all this stuff. And yeah, so I stopped
People
watching
were
it because I
questioning
was like,
why
Tony
people are
needs to see
filming.
this. So yeah, we watched it. And how do you feel about it, baby?
We didn't just watch it, we bought it.
Yes.
We purchased it via Prime Video. To be fair, I believe we paid $2 and change for it. There was no rental option. We could have gotten a 7-day trial of Lifetime. I wasn't willing to commit to that level of responsibility. So now we own it, so to speak,
Yes.
and can watch it many times.
So yeah, so if anybody knows where we live and really wants to see it, they can come
Yeah,
over.
we'll hook you up. I mean, I have a lot to say. I really think I nailed it. The first time, though, when I said this movie left me with 100 questions, none of which I want the answer to. It was bad. I mean, let's put that out there. It was bad. I surprisingly don't fault the acting for the most. I mean, I should rephrase. There are some very bad actors in this film, but a lot of the main character actors are not bad. To the degree that I looked some of them up and found out other things they're in and I might watch some of those. But the writing is atrocious, the filming is atrocious, the editing is atrocious, and it all doesn't make any sense. we establish a lot of rules about this Amish community that then we break, and sometimes we notice that we break them and sometimes we don't notice. Some people are shunned, but yeah, just but hang out with really all the other Amish anything. People. But the other ones are very scared of being shunned. Oh, now she's left. She's so mad.
I'm not left. Just go on.
All right. So there's her. But yeah, it's like, and it's not found footage. It wants you to sort of think it's found footage, but the problem is it's very clearly been edited and like soundtracked and shit in a way to make it scary. So like, somebody's a jerk, because like people die in this movie, and somebody took the raw footage of all of this insanity and actual deaths and things and edited it to give like the occasional jump scare or to make like freaky music in the background. I think I'm like, whoever made this documentary of these people's lives is a dick. Like, this is so rude. And they really do hold to it. There's a lot of like, we had to get the permission of this community. At the end, they like thank the community and all this. And then instantly afterwards, you get the actual credits. So it's just a weird premise. Yeah, it's real bad, and a lot of weird shit happens, and a lot of it doesn't make sense. Subplots that go nowhere, character arcs that make no sense, lines that kind of, it's a Lifetime movie.
About witches.
Braha, as they are called frequently in the movie, or Bruja, as the captioning spelled it. Don't know what that's about, but.
Well, and the other thing, I don't know if you noticed this, but. So in the movie, most of the characters, I would say, speak English most of the time. Yes. And they made a big deal about how this was a very old conservative sect. They did occasionally speak what I'm assuming was supposed to be Pennsylvania Dutch, but it seemed to have a whole bunch of English words borrowed into it.
And it had that fun thing where they were only amongst people who spoke that language, and they'd speak some sentences in it and some sentences not for no reason.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, the times where they chose to speak, like, even when the bishop came to, like, formally, like, censor, like he was speaking English. Like, why? Why would he ever be speaking English?
And it right early on hit the premise that it's an issue I have with fundamentalist religion as a whole. Somebody dies, that person was shunned, they're like, we got to bury him, and the bishop is like, no, fuck that, they're going to be buried in unconsecrated ground and they have to wear black instead of white when they're buried. The people in this movie genuinely believe this will send her to hell for eternity, and yet they still can't convince some of her most beloved grandchildren to push back on this at all. Like, some of them do, but some of them are like, we can't go get, and I'm like, wow, you're And the whole reason appears to be, we'll get in trouble if we do. And I'm like, so rather than get in trouble, you're sending grandma to eternal torment. I find that weird. But this is the thing in certain versions of fundamentalist religion that I often find weird.
Well, and you would think if she was shunned, she already, whatever. Anyway. Yeah. Shoot, there was something in there I was going to say, but I don't remember what it was. Oh, if you are from around here, you may find it interesting to note that the name of the family, sect, whatever, was Schwarzengerber, which is a common name around these parts. So I was like, oh, hey.
Or
not really relevant.
Somebody being a good Schwartzy. That came up a lot. I did love there was one point where, like, do you not see her much? She's like, no, she's in the new order, not the old order. And they were just, like, scandalized. Which, as far as we know, the new order just is slightly more willing to accept certain modern things. Is a weird-ass movie. I don't think it warranted as much talking as we've done about it. So
we probably not.
On. To the other movie we watched. Well, we watched half of Argyle. Didn't work for us. Whatever.
Yeah, what did we watch Friday night?
Late Night with the Devil.
Oh, yeah.
We were very excited. I was very excited for this one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how I feel about it.
This was a Shudder-produced film that again, is supposed to be found footage. And it creates this fictional late night television host who is essentially a rival to Johnny Carson in the 70s. And this is the footage of the Halloween 1977 episode.
Yeah,
of the show, combined with a few behind the scenes filming.
It's like archival footage.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
And the devil shows up, just so you know.
No, does he though?
Well, this is the thing. People like to call individual demons the devil sometimes, and they do in the TV in the movie they did at one point. But spook 'em ups show up and people die and stuff, as you might expect. So what did you think?
I think it was a really good movie. Like, quality-wise. I'm not sure I loved it. I think I liked it. I kind of remember having issues with it at the time, but now I can't really remember what those were, so maybe I got over it.
I had concerns you might be bored. Not because of anything you were doing. But because a large chunk of the movie is essentially just a fictional 1970s late night talk show.
Yeah.
And I eat that shit up. But yeah. I wasn't sure you would.
It was very strongly thematically 70s. Like, we had the costumes, we had the hairdos, we had, you know, the casual misogyny. I don't know that we had any casual racism.
Probably.
I mean, I feel like there would have been, but I'm like, I'm not sure we saw a person of color, so maybe that's why it didn't come up.
No. Phil, who was the stage manager, was black. And actually, Sammy, the makeup lady, an Asian.
And the sidekick, we called him a Mick. So there you go.
Oh, we did that, Gus. Yeah.
So yeah, it was very of the time, and that was kind of fun. And I told you later, like, I don't know, I think it's both a strength and a weakness of the movie that, like, a lot of it's essentially in real time, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
And so, like, there, you know, there's different guests come on and do different things and, you know, like, have their acts or whatever. And you're pretty far into it because he's talking about how they're running short on time and you're pretty short into it. And you're like, well, we haven't really you know, like there's always the question in these kinds of movies, is this really something supernatural happening, or are these people just imagining things or whatever? And we don't resolve that question until pretty gosh darn late in the runtime. Or even really speak to it in a concerted way.
Things happen early on, but it's all very much of a maybe that was a thing, maybe that, like it's all very opaque.
Yeah, because we have a spiritualist denier. He reminded me of Harry Houdini a little bit.
Well, I think he's specifically supposed to be the Amazing Randy. There is literally a stage magician who became a professional skeptic who offered $1 million if you could prove the supernatural.
Okay.
That is one of the things I really like. All of the celebrity guests were fictional, but they were very clear analogies to actual celebrities of the time. We had a medium who was very Amazing Kreskin-ish. And we had this guy who was who made me think of that guy of Amazing Randy. Yeah, we had a professional skeptic who was a stage magician for a long time.
That is what Houdini did in his later life, though.
Yeah.
Was go around and debunk spiritualists.
And gave his wife a secret code that he would give her if he could contact her from beyond the dead. And it never happened. And they still hold a seance every year, even though everybody involved is dead.
I mean,
it's become like a tourist thing.
All the more reason to have a seance. If you just had a regular party, nobody would show up.
That's how most of my parties go. It was impeccably acted, in my opinion.
Yes.
Really, really good job for all performers. Pretty nicely written.
And had a young actor who did quite a good job.
Yes. There was a young woman playing a 13-year-old. I don't know how old she is. And she was really good. It is possible that for some people it would drag in the beginning. Because again, so much of it is just watching a 1970s TV show, and I love that. Like, on paper, this movie is 100% me. Like, this is my movie. It wasn't what I hoped it would be. It was still quite good. The ending is ambiguous the right word here? I mean, I think it's definitely that, but
yeah,
it gets a little conceptual near the end, like right near the end. Things just get weird in a way that you're like, I'm not entirely sure what's going on.
Yeah, I was gonna say it gets weird in a way that you're not prepared for, that isn't precedented.
And it brings up things that actually are brought up other places as well. I would have liked a little more clarity because I'm big about the lore. I want the story of like what it is, what happened on this thing. And we sort of have that, but we have a lot of implication and not explication of certain things. And I am a little disappointed in that. So it wasn't everything I wanted it to be, but I think it's good. I would recommend it for people who are into this kind of thing.
Yeah, and I forgot the other 70s flavor thing. We have some of that satanic panic stuff going on in the background.
Yeah.
And stuff. And I like remember that even from the 80s and early 90s, like when I was working in the dorm, like, you know, we all had to learn the signs of cults and you know, satanic activity so that we could intervene if our residents were doing bad stuff.
I played Dungeons and Dragons in the 80s. I definitely ran into that. I was in deep trouble. Um, Yeah, I think it's on Shudder. It's called Late Night with the Devil. I think I would recommend it to most people.
Yeah, if it sounds like it might remotely be your jam, I'd say check it out.
Yeah.
Because
Guess what,
it is
baby?
a good movie. We didn't watch any more like Frankenstein this week.
No, we should watch Bride of Frankenstein at some point.
I still want you to watch Edward Scissorhands because I think it's a sweet movie.
You mentioned that. I think I'm willing to. I don't know that I'm interested per se, but I'm willing to. I haven't
It
seen that one
it's
in
kind of
easily.
Burton before he fully realized his Burtonness. So
And Depp before he realized his Deppness, and one of the last performances of Price.
and Winona Wilder before, I
Winona
don't know.
Ryder before she was Winona Wilder.
I tried. This is one of your lesser attractive features, dude.
Sorry. Her name is Winona Ryder, just so you
I tried
know.
to say that. It just came out of my mouth weird.
Guess what?
What?
I didn't start a new video game today.
Holy shit.
The number of different video games I play has butted up against my marriage in ways none of us anticipated. It is not the time I am spending playing video games. It is the sheer diversity.
It's Xbox, whatever we call it.
Game Pass, yep,
Yeah.
Ultimate.
He has access to virtually an infinite number of games that he has already paid for. All he has to do is get them loaded up on the Xbox and try them out.
And
And you do. I know I'm not mad about it. I told you that. All I
no,
told
but it
him
does complicate things.
was because like every day for a week he was like, I started a new game today. And usually as a good wife, I try to like listen and learn about it so that I can ask about it later. The problem is there's no point in learning it to ask about it later. Because he's going to be on to the next game before that. And so I finally just told him, I was like, look, just so you know, I'm not paying attention to these new games because I can't keep all of them straight.
Well, and often she'll absorb stuff. I don't even tell her things, but she absorbs it because she's in the room, and she'll pick up on certain things because, people say things in the video game and stuff like that. But yeah, every day it's a different game, and sometimes she'd be like, "Is this that one you were playing?" I'm like, "No, this is something else." So I have come up with a workaround.
Yes.
I currently have a video game that I only play when Trish is in the room, and it is the only game that I play when Trish is in the room.
And
So
what is it called?
it's called Harold Halibut. And we don't like set time to do it. Like we watch our TV shows and things like that. But if there's a point where we're not doing things together and I want to play a video game, if she's in the room, this is the one I play. And yeah, it's Harold Halibut. Would you like to tell them about Harold Halibut?
Well, I just want to say that unlike what I thought before you started it, Harold Halibut is not a fish. He is a
No,
person.
in person with the last name Halibut.
First name Harold.
Middle name unknown.
I really like the art style.
Well, explain to them the game.
Oh, I thought you were going to.
No, I
Okay.
said, tell them what Harold Halibut is.
Harold Halibut is a game where, in the future, presumably, where people left Earth because they thought Earth was dying, and they eventually came to a planet. Did they pick the planet ahead of time, or did they just scan it? I don't.
Based on the history we were given, well, first of all, they left Earth in like the 1960s.
Okay.
Because they decided the planet was going to go to hell. And then they traveled for hundreds of years. And I believe they did travel to the planet they anticipated, or that they picked out, but there was no solid land. Yeah.
And they ended up accidentally crashing into the water. And so they're presumably living on the remnants of their ship.
Yes.
And
it has been 18,000 days and change since keep track of the date days AC after crash, and we're somewhere in the 18,500s.
And there's not really a political entity that we have seen, but there is a corporate entity that is a pseudo-political force called All Water.
Yes.
And that name and the fact that it's a corporation creeps me out. So I keep expecting them to do something awful and nefarious. And so far, the game keeps feeding me hints that I might be right.
Well, and we found out there was at least some of their nefariousness doesn't materialize because they're not competent.
Yes.
We have learned of some nefarious things that they meant to do, or nefarious things that they meant to keep from the general populace and failed.
Things they wanted to do, but couldn't quite figure it out. So, yeah. And so there's lots of talk always about they're gonna get the spaceship out of the water somehow. Like, that seems really implausible to me. But they like to talk about it. And the game is just full of very odd characters, and everybody seems to know Harold, which kind of makes sense. But everybody also is
a lab assistant of no note.
Yeah. Everybody seems to think Harold is kind of a fuck up, and he's not really. He's confused a lot because we're driving him and we don't really understand what's going on.
Yeah, I feel like he was way more confused in the tutorial section and now he's less confused. So there is that.
But he seems to be a pretty good guy. Like, I don't know. He's our protagonist, yeah. I like Harold. Yeah, but just, I don't, and maybe I'm, it's been too long with you playing games like Fallout and Red Dead and whatever. Like, he's just nice. He's a nice person.
But also, I think he's bored, which is a lot of what it is. This is... Okay, so again, this is maybe going to appeal to Craig and Stu more. This is a very British game. I don't know if it's actually made by British people, but it's a very British game. For one thing, it is a stop motion adventure game. Like, it looks like clay to a degree. And they designed it as stop motion, and you can really tell, and it's gorgeous in that way. It has a very Wallace and Gromit feel to it, in that it's very just sort of cute little doughy British people. And it's all very, it's also all very comedic dystopia in a Douglas Adamsy sort of vibe. Because, yeah, this All Water company runs everything, and they're constantly talking about how they're here to help and everything, but also they, like, change the cost on the only transportation options there are on a regular basis, and you'll get arrested if you don't do it right, and it's all just a little insane. There's the eccentric characters abound. Everybody's eccentric. And yeah, I think to a certain degree, our protagonist is just not satisfied with his place as a cog within this machine. as opposed to most everyone else. He literally, at one point, while cleaning out a drainage filter, does a song and dance because he doesn't think anybody's there, called There Must Be More to Life.
And, like, he really sings. Like,
yeah, he's not a bad singer.
Tell him about the fish, though.
Yeah. Well, we're seeing things that are weird now. We get hints that there is some sort of secret, like, rebel organization almost called the Lightkeepers. And the first time we hear about them is very early on. Harold goes to talk with a guy in a particular little habitat. And outside the window, which is to say out in the ocean, a fish swims by with, like, a banner ad, you know, like airplanes have behind them, that says, "We're all free out here." And they both look at it and they're like, "Huh, that's weird."
And then they have a weird conversation about, "Remember the first time we saw a fish with a sign?" And I'm just like, no, we don't.
Also, all of the UI is almost all the UI is handled via his PDA, which has his tasks and messages from people. So it's basically his quest log. And his
sketchbook.
Yes, and just a notebook, like, physically attached to it. And he just draws doodles, and they're not good.
No.
At all.
His singing is good. His drawing is not.
Like, it gives a little sign when there's a new one, and you have to go look then. Because if you waited and went back, you would not be able to recognize what event he was depicting. And they're just flavor. Like, they don't provide anything useful, but he just draws little doodles of it. It's very slow, it's very charming. There's a lot to do, and there's tasks, and there's little mini games with stuff, but I feel like it's one of those you sort of can't do it wrong. I guess there are some optional things, but, like, there's a day-night cycle in the form of, once you finish all the shit the plot wants you to do that day, it's nighttime. And it's not based on the amount of time. It's literally when you've done all the quests, all the jobs, right, you have, and then there's no more plot. They're
shutting down.
They're like, go to bed. It is very slow. I think I am glad that I am playing it sometimes. I don't think I would want to play this full time, because it's just a very leisurely, comedic sort of deal.
You'd get through it faster.
It's probably not super long. There's lots of suspicious things going on. We don't really know details yet. Like, I still feel like we're in the earliest stages of this.
There's also interpersonal drama.
Lots of that.
Yeah.
And just ridiculous to go back, characters.
They have British accents.
Most of them, not all of them.
Right. Do the brothers have different ones? I thought one of them sounded markedly different.
I haven't visited them quick enough to know. They all have the same style, but I don't know. But, like, well, Harold doesn't. And then, like Bridget doesn't. I don't think Tommy does. There's some that definitely don't, but then others, like, most of them do.
Also, they said maths.
Yes, they did say maths. They've done a few things that it's clearly Brit. It's a very British game. Not everybody in it has British accents, but it's a very British game. It really gives me Douglas Adams vibes. I don't want to put it up on that. I don't want to say it's that clever. Douglas Adams is Douglas Adams, but it's that kind of humor, and it's a very, what to me is a very British thing, of this sort of comedic look at the potential dystopian end of socialism in a way. Except this, of course, isn't socialist, but, you know, it's a type of funny premise that I've seen in a lot of British things.
And when you said Wallace and Gromit, I was like, because I feel like that can lean a little physical comedy, which we haven't had too much. But
we get things like we're passing through the central district, and there's a person complaining to one of the employees about one of the lines is down, and they do this who's on first thing about, like, the line is down for good reason. I can't comment on how the lines are down, sir. My remit is only to tell you what lines are down, and this one is, and, like, when will it be back up? In an appropriate amount of time, do you know how long that would be? It is not within my pay grade. Like, that kind of deal.
There also is a guy, I don't know if he's police or what, he's an authority figure. He really does not like Harold. And every time Harold shows up, he just accuses him of whatever happens to be on his mind. And so it was funny because the last time we ran across him, Tony tried to just like walk past him without talking to him at all. But the game wouldn't let him.
I liked the one where it was Harold and the police guy and a little kid, and we had this three-way argument in which I couldn't tell if I was in trouble because he thought I was with the kid or if I was in trouble because he thought I wasn't with the kid, because it seemed to switch back and forth a lot. One of his early lines is, he says, I didn't make the rules, Harold, but the rules made me. And I feel like that's a very apt picture of him.
Yeah. So when you said Douglas Adams the second time, I thought about Pratchett, which again, Pratchett is a fucking genius. So I'm not saying this is on that level, but I think you're right. It has that same kind of, like, we're going to talk about something deeply serious, but we're going to do it in the most lighthearted way possible.
There are the three secretaries that are around at different jobs are all triplets, except you find out that there's another brother, and that's like a plot, except for the longest time, the plot is going to a brother and being like, tell me about the other brother. And then being like, I don't want to talk it. Go to this guy. He knows it better. And you go to that one. He's like, no, I don't want to talk about it. And like, you're bouncing around them just to get the slightest tidbit of information. Cause they're all like, I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
But it is funny because it's a very sibling thing, because basically how you start to get information in the end is you go to a brother and say, well, I talked to your brother and he said, and then the one you're talking to now will be like, well, it wasn't exactly like that. And then they'll tell you something.
So but you had to get bits and pieces by going to all these different identical gentlemen. I think something's gonna happen. I got a message to go to the arcades late at night, and I finally figured out who Felix is. Felix is the kid, the CEO's kid. Oh. So I think it's about to kick off. But we will see.
You're probably gonna get in trouble.
Stands to reason.
And we're trying to figure out who digs through the filters. We have a lot of theories.
Filter Frankie.
Yeah.
There's a secret man or woman named Filter Frankie.
And nobody knows who it is.
Well, Tommy theoretically does. Because
Frankie
sells to his shop.
And you would think, given that Harold's cleaning out the filters, that Harold would know, but
and it's designed to be like, here's a great example of the mechanics. There's no sprint or walk fast button. And you do a lot of walking to the same places. And there is no going faster.
There's a decontamination room. And it took Tony forever to figure out that he doesn't actually have to listen. Because the robot that talks when you're in it is clearly messed up. Like at one point she's trying to count down 3, 2, 1 and she never gets to one, and a bunch of other stuff.
Wait for it. Done.
So pretty early on, my tester brain is like, yeah, you don't have to wait for her. Because if you look in other places, you can see like the remnant of that room. It just isn't working at all anymore. And you just walk through those.
I let some, the decontamination stuff still comes out. I still put some.
Well, something comes out.
Well, yeah. No, honestly, my spacing on those is a little bit comedic timing now. I do it to the point that if this was like a movie of it, that's how long he'd stay and we'd all laugh and move on.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, well, as you may have noticed in my playthrough, my version of Harold is getting increasingly impatient with that decontamination shower.
And she does have different, like, she doesn't always say the same thing.
Yeah.
And so it is funny to hear them all, but she doesn't have an infinite number. So we're kind of running out of them.
What about Zim and Alon?
I think they might. I mean, I love Harold, but they might be my favorite because they're just so, like, what the fuck?
Is a man and a woman having conversations about nothing important with the tone and enthusiasm of people who are convinced they are being secretly recorded by a nefarious organization? Like, they say a lot of things that don't matter. They're constantly using each other's names over and over within the conversation. And it's all, like, I could not give you an example of what they talked about because it is all so meaningless. I cannot remember. They're just sitting in what passes for a bar.
And but they're very invested in it.
Yeah. They have lots of theories about things and stuff. Just none of it matters. Yeah, so we like it. It's a very new game, and it's very new. It's on Game Pass Ultimate. So Stu, at least you can play it. Yeah, if you like that kind of humor and stuff, I think it's a fun game. It's easy. Because it is an adventure game and it's not like a mystery. I mean, the story is a mystery, but largely just go where it tells you and do what it tells you. And
yeah,
and
you're not like...
And if you're not sure where to go, go everywhere and eventually you'll find it. Because again, time won't move on until you did the thing. So, whatever.
Yeah. It's not... there's not particularly puzzles. There's not fighting. Like,
no. I occasionally get a mini game for something. And in fact, I'm still not entirely sure how I clean out the filter, but I've done it twice, and both times I did it, like, every button I pushed seemed to be the right one, but I couldn't tell you what the buttons were for.
Oh, did you ever go back to the actual arcade?
No.
Because you could play games there. But they were all the same game? Maybe
they were all different themed, but the basic mechanics were very similar in all of them. One of them I could die, one of them I couldn't. No, I should go back there because there's lots of, you are often rewarded for going places the game didn't tell you to go. Like, you'll get new quests and new conversations and things, and nobody will stop you. I just literally just went into the elevator where the captain is and just talk to him, and he gave me a quest and shit. And I'm like, there's no way I was supposed to be there. But yeah, it's a fun game. So, and then soon now, I'm going to start a new game that came to Game Pass today, the new JRPG with 100+ playable characters. I'm super excited. Except
Genshin.
What?
The last time we had this conversation, I said, and it looks a lot like that other JRPG. And you looked at Genshin me like Impact. I was crazy. And you had no idea what I was saying. And this time I remembered the word Genshin.
Genshin Impact. It does a little bit look like that. But I'm currently actually playing a game called Evil West. And enjoying it far more than I would have thought. I'm a steampunk cowboy hunting vampires in the old West. And it's like a beat 'em up third person action RPG kind of thing, which I don't usually play a lot of. This one,
you shouldn't beat up vampires. It's not good for you.
I mean, I've been doing a lot of it. This one is challenging but doable for me. Like, I keep switching. You can switch the difficulty on the fly, and I've got it set at normal difficulty, and if I ever hit a thing where I die too many times, I'll switch it down to story. And I can't tell you why I like it, but I find it very, it's hitting something. But yeah, so I've been enjoying that. Anyway, we're at time.
We can't be at time. I got something. I have
What do you got?
something.
What have you have?
I read this on Monday and I was like, I wonder what Tony would think about that. And I was like,
Whoa.
Hey, I'll save it for the podcast.
All right, lay it on me. You should have told me. I would have made time earlier.
Sorry. Okay, so this comes from this guy. He's older. I think in his 70s. I don't know. And so he writes down these things. It started, he wrote them down for his children. You know, things he'd learned in his over his years so that they would have these life lessons.
These are bits of wisdom.
Yeah. So this one says, to tell a good story, you must reveal a surprise. Otherwise, it is just a report.
Interesting. At first blush, I agree with that, but I feel like it's one I'm going to be turning over in my head for a while.
Yeah, at first I agreed with it, and then I very vehemently disagreed with it. And then, yeah, I don't know. Because, like, I think about a lot of, like, fairy tales and things like that. I'm like, you could argue that they contain a surprise, but they're told so frequently and they follow similar themes. And so very rarely is the surprise actually a surprise.
Well, and this becomes the thing. How do you define surprise, and also surprise for whom? So if a story is incredibly predictable to me, are you no longer
right.
telling me a story? Are you giving me a report? And actually, this brings up an example. If you give a report and it has something surprising in it, is it now a story?
Yeah. Well, and it made me think about family stories because, like, you've been around long enough to know, and your family does it too. My family tells the same story over and over and over and over again. And
we all know it.
Might have had a surprise at some point, but I don't think some of them don't even have that.
It does. They always have to. If it's a family story, especially, it's here's the things, here's the things, here's the things. And then, can you believe it? This happened. Like, every family story has that moment where, and they ate the whole thing, or, and the eggs were already gone, or, it turned out it wasn't the Grand Canyon. It was the Leaning Tower of Pisa, or like, otherwise, it's just how was your day?
Yeah, because my mom has the one about how it snowed so bad that she was stuck in town and she didn't think she was going to get to go home for Christmas. I guess the surprise was then she did get to go home for Christmas, but.
Because none of this speaks to quality.
True.
This isn't whether or not it's a good story or a bad story, or a good report or a bad report. And would you rather hear a good report over a bad story?
Well, and let's just talk about the most obvious example. So if you tell me a story and we both agree it's a story, whatever, but then you tell it to me a second time, either on purpose or by accident,
is it now a report?
Right.
Is it a report of the story I told you earlier? Also, if M. Night Shyamalan gives a report.
Yes. Y'all, I made Tony watch a trailer for the latest M. Night Shyamalan movie just so that I could watch his head explode.
Which one was it? Because I recently saw one for M. Night Shyamalan's kid or whatever.
Trap? Trick?
Oh, no, Trap. But why is it called? I've already forgotten it.
Because it's a trap. The concert is a trap.
Oh, that's right. For Josh Hutcherson. Oh, yeah. No, that does not look fun. Watchers, which
actually,
is the thing
the part
I showed...
that looks best about it is the concert that's happening.
Lady Raven. A while back, I showed you a teaser trailer for a movie called Watchers, and they finally released a full trailer. And it's not M. Night Shyamalan. It's adapted and directed by someone else with the last name Shyamalan. And executive produced by M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, that's that movie where they're in the house with the glass wall.
Yes, and weird things watch them.
I always want it to be about Giles.
Oh. From Buffy?
Yeah.
I do not believe it is about Giles from Buffy.
It's too bad. I'd watch that movie.
Anthony Stewart Head as the monsters. He plays all of them.
I'd watch that movie, but I probably won't watch this. It's like Hugh Grant
and the Oompa Loompas. all right, people. This has been a report because there were no surprises. You knew exactly how this was going to go from the beginning.
We're coming up on our 20th anniversary. There are no surprises.
There's no more surprises. Yeah. A week from tomorrow. 20 Whoa. Years. Yeah. Whoa. I was telling Chelsea, our hairstyle. I got a haircut today, by the way. For those of you listening couldn't tell by the sound of my hairs. I think because of so many things built into my head from upbringing and socializing and all that, or socialization of what like marriage is and what it entails and what it's like, every once in a while I'm just like, holy shit, I'm married to you and have been for 2 decades. That's insane. Like,
it's kind of, we're insane. Not
those people.
What else has either one of us done for 20 years?
Right? Also, 20 years is a long time to be married, apparently. It doesn't feel like we've been married for a crazy long amount of time. But, like, to me, I'm like, I know people have been married 50, 60 years. Like, that's a long time. But then I talk to everybody else, and they're like, wow, 20 years. And none of them have been married 20 years. I'm like, wow, I guess maybe it is a long time.
This is a thing I noticed, though, a while back, is that people who are married, it doesn't matter how long they've been married, but like if you tell them how long you've been married, they'll be like, oh, that's really good, congratulations. You know, and so like, because when we first got married, I talked to people and I'd be like, well, you know, we've only been married for 5 years, that's not really that long. And they're like, no, you're doing good, you're doing it's like a little cult, like we're married and you're married, so now you got to stay married so you can still be in our group.
See, I want to do it like the old people, like the various grandparents on the Cosby Show, where they're like, 20 years, you're just babies, that ain't nothing. Because I think that is a thing. If you're married, however long, if you're married for the first time, at least, however long you've been married is like a normal amount of time to have been married. Like, you set yourself as the median.
Yeah. But I do think you're right. Like, I mean, whatever. I told you before we got married, I don't believe in divorce. But it's not like we got married and we were like, we're going to do this for 20 years. It was just, you know, every morning I wake up and you're still there. And so we just keep doing the thing.
I could tell she's rolled over facing away from me. She's crossing her fingers. She's like, please, please, please. And then she rolls over. She's like, oh, you're still here. And I'm like, yep, Marta, baby. No, we actually used to, I don't even know where we are on that. There came a point in our marriage where every anniversary we would agree to go for another length of however many years that was and see how it went.
Yeah.
But we did it like repeatedly. So we hadn't even exhausted the first chunk of time.
Yeah, you didn't really like it though, so I think I stopped doing it.
See, in my head, I'm the one who started it.
Yeah.
Which one are you?
My name starts with T.
All right, we'll get this worked out. Anyway, as a representative of this half of the marriage, I'm willing to give it another 20 years, see what happens.
So, all right. We might need to check with kitties first.
They're not going to be around for 20 years.
No, they're not. All right. So, Hatters, if you know which of us is Trish and which of us is Tony.
Be really useful. Go to the blog.
Or if you know what a story is.
Yes. Report to us on a story. Although, if your findings are surprising, it might just be a story. So, I don't know what we do then. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and comment on this weird shit here. Have you been watching Fallout? Are you an Amish witch? Are you a halibut named Harold? If you are, there are support groups available. See the number flashing on the bottom of the screen. You are not alone. There are literally dozens of halibuts also named Harold. Also, please write us some emails, because this is what happens when you don't. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. I don't know what next week will look like, but there will be something. That is my
promise.
I don't want to go that far.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.